Hi, everyone. I'm Sydney Long, guard at Gibson Southern High School. I was introduced to Lead 'Em Up last year, and it helped my team and I so much, especially this past season. Our team worked extremely well together. We all played for each other instead of for ourselves. Doing Lead 'Em Up almost every week was able to help us work on communication and many other things. For me, Lead 'Em Up taught me everything I needed to become a great leader and teammate. It helped me make sure I walked into practice and games with energy and ready to go, which helped everyone on the team do the same.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
So thank you for hanging out with us today, and I'm excited to have a good friend of mine, Shane Oaks, who's up in Vermont, White River Valley School District up there. And Shane, you and I have been able to develop a friendship here over the last year or two, and you all are utilizing the Lead 'Em Up program up within your school, and I've had a chance to get up to visit you all on a couple of different occasions to be a part of what we call a verification ceremony, which was really neat with your students and faculty. But, you know, I think I'm excited for today's interview and episode because, you know, one, I love the passion that you have for developing young people, for pouring in and equipping them into leaders and their growth as an individual. I'm excited to kind of lean into your passion for just overall culture, right? Like building that environment that produces success and is healthy, where people can thrive. Because you don't reach out to Lead 'Em Up unless you have a desire, unless you have a passion for that. And I want to ask you just one. You've got a unique title. It's MTSS coordinator. Okay. One, I want you to just kind of speak to that, what that role is. And then also, like, you know, what was going on in your mind just from a culture leadership standpoint that just kind of initially prompted you a couple of years ago, you know, say, you know, I want to look into being very intentional with this. And I feel like my school could benefit from it.
Sure. Thanks, Adam. So the MTSS stands for multi-tier student support, and that's really looking at a universal system that provides a variety of supports and services for students that, you know, that they need to be successful in school. And I had the chance to see you present a few years back in a basketball coaches clinic. And as I sat through your presentation and introduction of the Green Team, I said, wow, this is special. This is something that we need. And why are we just focusing our leadership on student athletes? You know, we had a system within our own school, a teacher advisory group system, where every student in the school has a teacher advisor, and they have intentional time built into their schedule throughout the week to be in there with those folks. And I said, you know, what a perfect opportunity for us as a whole school to utilize something like Lead 'Em Up to create a universal language, common sharing and understanding and ideas, and make sure, you know, that we're doing everything that we can to be aligned and moving in the same direction. And so, you know, your energy, your enthusiasm, the program itself got me so excited that I reached out to you and said, hey, has this ever been done in schools? And can we make something work? And so from there, you know, we've been working through. The pandemic hit shortly thereafter. Kind of life changed for all of us, but really excited this year to be able to put that idea into action and to launch the Lead 'Em Up classroom. So.
Yeah. And I think when you reached out initially, Shane, I think I was like, yes, but not yet. I think I almost like put you on hold there. You know, yeah. I was like, I'll get back to you, but we are working on that. And, you know, it's one thing that's interesting is because a lot of times people look at this, you know, when we become really intentional from leadership program, character, you know, that it's, if you have good kids, you don't need it, right? Like a lot of times there's, even on the sports perspective, it's not really a need. I've got a pretty good program. I've got pretty good kids here. And it's almost as if like, okay, that's a program that's going to come in to help clean up major dysfunction. But I look at your school, like that's not the case in your community, right? Like you all have a good school. There's a good support staff. There's good faculty. There's good kids. I've been able to meet many of those kids. Yes, you know, they're teenagers. So you deal with the standard stuff that teenagers are going through, but you know, it's not this crazy dysfunction where we need to come in and do a complete makeover. So would you for a second speak to that dynamic where like, it almost seems like you took like, all right, we're in a good spot, but like, how could we strengthen it? I have to imagine like that's the thought process a little bit.
Yeah. I've always taken that approach to, anything I've ever been involved in, you know, how do we make this better? And you've got a great quote. You said, you say a lot. Is good enough if greater is an option? So
good isn't good enough if better is an option. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, yeah. I think we should be striving to make something special and to look for opportunities to make things better. You know, we have students that are not athletes that, you know, really, I think are passionate about their school and their community and are looking for opportunities to even make the place, the school feel better, more special. I had a student yesterday in my office say to me, I wish that we had had this my freshman year, and this is a senior, and is talking about wanting to leave this place a better place than it is now, and something that he would be happy and proud to have his kids come to that school and be a part of. And so, you know, that, to me, that shows that, you know, there's a hunger out there to make things the best that they can be. And I think we owe it to our kids. We spend so much time in schools with them and have so many opportunities for interaction and genuine moments of learning, of caring, compassion, love. And why would we not want to be intentional about developing leaders within our school setting, as opposed to, you know, just saying, well, you know, I'm a math teacher, or I'm an English teacher, and we hit these proficiencies and our test scores are good. So, you know, I've done my job. Mm-hmm.
And the good news is when we pour into them from a leadership and character standpoint, it usually produces better results, or at least it should, in the scores and all of that, right? So there's this residual effect as well. I believe to the student you talked about that was in your office the other day, I believe deep down, kids want that. They want to be part of something special. I believe we all do. Now, are they always willing to do what's necessary to create it? That's a different story, okay? That's where it takes a little bit of work. But I believe deep down, that message is what these kids believe. They want to be part of something fun and enjoyable and lively and something to be proud of, right? Brag worthy, you know, to kind of boast about my school. Yeah, you know, like they want that environment. So, and I remember when I had a chance to connect over lunch with some of your students up in there in Vermont, you could hear the passion from some of them saying, you know, oh, we want this. This is what we want. So I want to ask you, like, how have you just in your experience seen that shake out in the sense that, yes, some really want it. Others may take a little while. How do those two dynamics blend into one another? Is it, you know, the process? Just speak to the general process of trying to get everyone to that place, because it's a challenge.
Yeah, I think looking at kind of change management and introducing new things is a process, and it takes time. And we're, you know, at the very early stages of this. And for me, the process started one, you know, just identifying Lead 'Em Up and wanting to utilize this curriculum with students. But then I had to go and convince staff and get buy-in from the staff that this was something that was worth their time, energy, and investment. And I think we all knew that we needed to be intentional about the way that we engaged our students, particularly coming off of or coming out of COVID, where we were 3 months completely virtual, and then last year, kind of a hybrid approach to learning. Students had lost a lot, and teachers had lost a lot, and that sense of community had taken some hits. And so, I think it was an easy sell from that standpoint to pour into it. But you know, like anything new, you go through your growing pains, and what is comfortable and kind of within one person's wheelhouse might not be for the other. And we've got a school full of great, passionate teachers. But leading, a Lead 'Em Up session might not be, easy for them, because that's just, outside of their comfort zone. So they got to grow through the process too. So it started with, identifying the problem, getting staff on board, believing in it, and then just kind of being really intentional about how we're going to try to roll this out and introduce it to students. So we've got a little group of teachers that work to help implement it and continually evaluate it. And then bringing students into the process and hearing what sort of feedback they have. And I think that's where I think ultimately our success is going to lie, is can we get enough buy-in from the students to make this a student-led initiative as opposed to a Shane-led initiative, right? If it's just on me to bring this to our school to try to make it special, it's not going to happen. It's going to take all of us, and particularly the buy-in from the students. So it's exciting when I have these conversations or I hear people, frustrated about, wow, the verification process, I don't think it was fair or just. And really, let's talk about that. It's clear that that's important to you. So how can we address your concerns? And I think that's once you start to get to that level of conversation and discussion, I think it gets a lot easier because you're all talking about a common thing. And I think everybody has the same goals. And now we just got to figure out how we're going to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, well said. And, the staff, from my experience there, I felt such an increase in momentum after the second visit versus the first. Don't get me wrong, our first training was really, really good. There was a lot to it, but I felt like in light of the second one, I really felt just a confidence from the staff. It just felt different after the second one. And I think in large part, maybe because what happened right before, and you kind of alluded to it, is this verification. And I just want to speak to that for a second, because when I look back on 2021, it was absolutely one of the highlights of my year, being able to come up and be a part of that. For those that aren't familiar, we go through this very cool verification process. So if you think about social media, getting verified, right? You get that little check next to your name. Similar in theory, where we do a verification program and process through Lead 'Em Up, where we verify students green all around our green theme and our green standards and the green team concept. But in this case, the students are voting and kind of spearheading that. And we had a whole day, and you did an incredible job, Shane, you and the team putting, kind of getting shirts made and all of that. And we sat there in the gym that day, had a full high school wide assembly, and took an hour, however long it took, and verified and celebrated those 20 or so students. And there was also about 7 or 8 faculty members where the students selected and said, we believe these people are worthy of being verified green at this moment. And what a great honor, right, to be recognized by your peers in that way for how you're showing up each day, how you're approaching life and a student and that your character. And it was awesome. And what was so awesome about it, Shane, was there was a period we left a little bit of the assembly open-ended, right? Yeah. I said, I'm going to feel it out a little bit, Shane. We're going to see how it goes. I would love to try to get a student or two to share on the mic. I'd run around with the mic and maybe get them to like share why they nominated a certain student or a faculty member. It was a complete wild card, right? And when you've got like 100 plus kids and high schoolers, you're like, okay, I don't know how this is going to go. And that's for me to like improv through it. What happened at that point was incredible, right? Probably for about the next, I mean, I'd say about 20, 25 minutes, all across the gymnasium, you just saw these teenage students raising their hands, openly and willingly sharing why they nominated their classmates and teachers, praising them, celebrating them on the mic. And it began to just grow and expand like wildfires. In fact, I was like, are we going to like miss lunch? Right? Is this going to keep going? That was so, so cool. And like when you saw that begin to play out, doesn't mean everything's perfect, right? Doesn't mean the culture's exactly, no. It's part of the process. But when you see that moment and that day, like what are you processing?
Yeah, no, it was special. And it really caught me off guard a little bit too, to see the energy and the enthusiasm and the number of students that stood up and spoke. And I think, you know, it also highlights for me the importance of like really being intentional about how we celebrate others and focusing on, you know, the good things that are happening. It's easy to, you know, just be negative or kind of jump on that bandwagon. But I think celebration of others takes some intentionality. And so having this process of being able to nominate students for verification and celebrate those that are being verified, I think is going to be really good in helping us to continue to develop and grow what is a positive, embracing, appreciative culture within our school. And so it was great to see it play out that the way that it did, because we didn't know what to expect.
There were tears at moments. Like I think some of the faculty, like that was really cool too, right? To see some of the students stand up in front of the entire student body and say, you know, I nominated this student, but I also nominated Mr. So-and-so. And then just go on about how much they care and appreciate that teacher. Like that doesn't happen, right? Like that doesn't happen in those major group settings in front of their peers like that. But it was happening there. And I think that's played into the buy-in that's increased from teachers, right? When they began to see that play out that day, because it was probably a eye-opening experience for them as well when they look at over the years of their teaching. So, you know, let me ask you this. In light of, you talked about the change management, okay? This is new, right? There's hesitation, there's skepticism. What do you think is the biggest skepticism, like the biggest thing that in many cases when you're trying to roll something like this out, right, really trying to make a big shift in culture, what is the ultimate hesitation, do you think? From both student perspective and staff perspective. Is it just change in general? Is there anything specific you would kind of point to? What holds people back from maybe rolling it out because they're concerned they won't get embraced?
Yeah, I think change is hard for people. So, you know, I think we naturally do resist that a little bit, you know, comfortable with the things that we know. I think it also, you know, being able to step out and take on a challenge takes some courage and some support. And so, you know, looking at the green traits and somebody who's green versus gray versus red, I think plays into this a little bit, right? So we need to have somebody with the courage and conviction to stand up and say, hey, this is what we're going to do, or what I think we should do. You need to get buy-in and support. You got to rally the troops. And then you need to be able to weather the storms, right? Because rollouts and changes and implementing anything new doesn't come without its pitfalls and mistakes. And, you know, I can look back and say, you know, 5-6 things that I would do differently with the way that we rolled this out this year. But as long as we can continue to have those conversations and to reflect on what we're doing, what's worked well, what hasn't, and adjust course and make changes, and have those people involved in that process. You know, I can't make these decisions alone in a vacuum and expect that it's going to work, right? Because what makes sense to me doesn't necessarily fly for everybody else. So that's where that involvement of the students and the staff is really critical, and why I'm excited when students, you know, come to me like yesterday just to talk about the verification committee and the process and lead them up in general. And when I know that there are students that are passionate about making the school a better place, I, you know, that gives me the energy to keep going, to keep pushing, because I know that, you know, in the end, we will make a better place and we will get to that place that we want it to be.
Hey, this is Ashley from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Today, we're talking about intentions. An intention, by definition, is an aim or plan. Intentions are much less rigid, and all they require is effort, not perfection. Here are a few steps and tips to get you jump-started with intentions. Number one, determine your purpose and goal. What do you want to reach towards being and becoming a better you? Two, begin incorporating smaller habits. Smaller habits help us not feel quite as overwhelmed to make big changes, which can be really hard to do. Crowding out is a way of putting more focus on the good choices and things you want and not having as much time, need, or want for the less effective habits as a result. Three, stay focused. Try using a habit tracker or some sort of other tracker that can help visually stimulate a sense of pride in your strides. And four, learn from others and ask for help. Identify people around you who are doing things you aspire to and ask for advice. You have the power to change your behavior and incorporate things into your life that will help you reach whatever goal you are trying to accomplish. You get to pick your attitude and your actions. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
I love that you just acknowledge the weathering of the storms, you know, because that's huge. And, you know, I was just on a call with one of the schools utilizing the program up in Michigan, and same deal. There's about 3 or 4 things they wish they would have done differently. Okay. Not saying it's bad by any means. There's momentum being created, right? But looking back, as you, once again, good isn't good enough. Better is an option. Like, okay, this, yeah, it was good, but like, if we would have just done this, if we would have just incorporated this, or maybe rolled it out this way on this time with this schedule, absolutely, that's part of it. And I think one of the ways to better weather the storm is when you do it together, to your point, versus everything's on Shane, right? But no, we're in this together. And then that's obviously going to generate this better buy-in, the spirit of ownership that we're creating it. And it's also then shifts from a position of like, this is Shane's thing to this is our thing. Okay. Yeah. Shane brought it to the table. He introduced it, but it's us. We're in this together. And I think that plays a huge, huge role when we're trying to develop the culture, because you're not going to develop the culture without all of us doing it together. So, you know, I want to ask you this though, Shane, and this is not for you to like do any form of like soliciting commercial for Lead 'Em Up by any means. I don't want it to sound like this. But in a support role that you're in, where you are multi-tier and you're designed to helping build and equip, my guess is you are privy to many programs out there. And in fact, what you oftentimes, some of the resistance to change is because we just think it's another thing, because there's a lot of things out there. Not so much about what Lead 'Em Up specifically, but what within it did you feel that like could help create the momentum of the culture, right, to actually stick, to actually like create the movement when when you're hearing it? Like, what is it? What within it kind of got you to say, you know, I think this could help drive the culture and the shift that we want to see?
So what I loved about Lead 'Em Up is the lessons and the activities and how interactive they are. And I think that anytime you can get students, adults, you know, really anybody together talking and going through these activities, role plays, things like that, it creates opportunity for real conversation and insight. And it's not necessarily, we were doing sugar and salt just this week with a group, and it wasn't the activity, you know, the role play itself that makes somebody a better communicator. I think it's the conversation that we have afterwards about how it went that really digs deeper into the ways that we communicate, how we present ourselves, how we come across in different conversations based on timing, relationships, frequency, things like that, that I think are really important. So for me, it was, you know, the whole package, including the building of our school-wide standards, right? That made this great. And we also are a PBIS school, which stands for Positive Behavioral Interventions and Supports. And this is very much PBIS based. It's focused on the positives. We've created common standards and expectations for the school, and it's universal. It touches every student, every staff. And so, you know, I think PBIS often is like, that's in the education world, I think folks think of it as an elementary tool or program that's good at supporting culture and whatnot. But really, I see Lead 'Em Up hitting all of the major things that that program's trying to accomplish. So,
yeah. Well, Shane, you know, what I love about you so much and have enjoyed just your calm, steady temperament and presence, right? And it reminds you that, like, there's so many different ways to lead. You know, like, every time we've been together, you always have this really calm, steady presence to yourself. I'm the opposite. I'm like, blah, 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 like 100 miles a minute, you know. But yet you're going. And even in the midst of that personality, you are leading and driving this change, right? You're rah-rah in the group, but you're not necessarily having to like demonstrate that behavior. Just reminders for all of us how leadership shows up in so many different personalities and styles. But it really comes down from the heart, right? If you're passionate about it, if you're committed to it, you can begin to do that. So Shane, I just want to take a moment and celebrate you and just continuing to lead this, you know. This doesn't work in any school. In fact, it doesn't work on any team unless there is someone spearheading it, right? There is a champion in the building on the team within the group that is really helping kind of bring it together, right? To kind of be that person. And then if it works out the way it should, ultimately that person, they bring it in, but then it gets passed over and owned by everybody else, right? That's how it ultimately should hopefully go. I know my work with the teams that I work with, I want to come in and spearhead it, but then I want them to own the conversation. I want them managing themselves. I just want to facilitate it to get it going. And you're just doing a great job up there. And I'm excited that you guys are going through it. And I appreciate you coming on the episode to share with us, Shane.
Well, thanks, Adam. I appreciate that. It's been a tremendous partnership in working with you. And continuing to grow this classroom version of Lead 'Em Up. I'm so excited that you guys have taken that step to branch out just beyond the sports world, because I think it is transformational and can have such an impact for communities that are willing to bring it in and invest the time and energy to it.
And this is why we only brought in 10 year one, right? Because there are some, I wouldn't say storms, you know, I don't want to like, I guess a storm could be a sprinkle, right? It doesn't always mean a hurricane or a blizzard, right? So they vary in sizes, but you know, you got to weather the dynamics. You got to learn, you got to see what worked, what didn't, right? How could we improve? And you know, this year you're one of the 10 schools in North America, Canada included, that utilize the Lead 'Em Up classroom and been gathering great feedback, really learning. And I'm excited to kind of see where things go in the future for it. So anyways, if you're listening, we appreciate you listening so much. Thank you to, on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. Have fun and lead 'em up.
Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal, served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.